Hi, everyone, and welcome to Coach's Corner. I have a repeat guest back, my friend Brandy Gilmore, who I've also done healing sessions with. I find her work incredibly powerful. She is a researcher and mind-body healing expert who's been captivating audiences worldwide with her incredible ability to demonstrate radical healing using only the mind. She has even shown visual proof of the power of the mind using medical thermal imaging. And due to these breakthrough results, her case studies have been published in a prestigious medical journal. She's also delivered mind-expanding TED Talks and been featured in several documentaries. Her own discoveries stem from her personal injury, which we'll talk about in this show. Now she's releasing her brand new cutting-edge book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body, where she shares the hidden research that is the key to her healing and success. Before we dive in, I want to thank my sponsor for this week, Organifi. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition with high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar. I want to talk to you a little bit about green juice. I've talked about it before. I want to go through it again because I just had some today and I just love it. It's the only green powder I can have in just water and it's palatable for me. And I like green things. I mean, I'll chew on straight up chlorella and spirulina, but it's hard to find a green powder that just really, you know, tastes good and still greedy. So it's made from 11 superfoods for resetting the body and feeling amazing. It has 600 milligrams of clinically proven ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen. It's 100%, not 99%, USDA certified organic, helps decrease cortisol, helps promote a healthy response to stress, helps maintain normal cortisol levels, helps food cravings, and I said, tastes delicious just in plain water. Contains vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, and it's gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, vegan, non-GMO, all the things. Some of the ingredients I love, I mentioned ashwagandha, moringa, chlorella, spirulina, beets, turmeric, mint, wheatgrass, lemon, and coconut water. So you can get your green juice and all your Organifi products. They even have started making kids' products, which I'm super excited about, at Organifi.com/overit. That's Organifi.com/overit, or use promo code overit at checkout. All right, everybody. And now on to my conversation with Brandy Gilmore. Brandy, my longtime friend, I'm so happy to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here with us again.
Christine, my beautiful, beautiful friend. It is so wonderful to connect with you and to be here again. Thank you so much, love.
And as I shared the first time that you were on the podcast with me, you've been such a supportive and amazing friend and also an incredible healer and guide for me. So thank you for all the ways that you've helped me and my family. I'm just so grateful for you.
You're so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. There are many things I love about you. One of the things I love most is you make healing really fun and possible. It's not like this big, laborious, you got to go to therapy for 30 years and sit and say 105 mantras and cry for, you know, 25 years. You really make healing possible and fun. So I want to start with, before we dig into talking about your new book, which I love, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You shared the story on the podcast before, but that was a couple years ago. So I'd love to touch back into a little bit of your journey of why healing and how healing has become such a passion of yours.
Absolutely. You know, I have to say, this is literally the last thing I ever thought I would be doing. And so now I am. I'm so passionate about showing even healing under medical equipment and showing proof of it. But I used to do network engineering and operations, and basically I had an accident. That was about 21 years ago now. And I had an accident. I fell. I had two accidents. I had a car accident and then I had a fall accident, and I fell just wrong, just right, however you want to say it. But I went from living a full life to being in extreme pain, wheelchair, walker, cane, just a mess. And my doctor saying that there was nothing they could do for me, and it changed my entire life.
Because you're not in a wheelchair or a walker or in pain anymore. And that didn't happen because you had some magical surgery or, you know, some doctor gave you some magical pill. How did it happen?
You know, the last thing I thought ever, using my mind. And you know, honestly, if somebody had told me that I could heal with my mind at that point, I probably would have been offended and said, like, because I had a lot of misconceptions that maybe it's all in my head, or I would have thought, you know, mind over matter. And I was like, but I had been trying mind over matter or just to push through. And I wouldn't have thought that it was that you could really use the mind to heal a physical injury or a physical issue and really create a change. But that's exactly what happened.
Okay. So now everybody's asking how. How did you do that? Yeah, I know it's not a 1-2-3-step process, but you know, the how has become the foundation of your teaching.
Absolutely. The how, absolutely. So I would say, you know, I would say part of the way I figured it out is I did everything wrong initially. You know, at first I heard about, you know, the placebo. And so I really started looking into it because I was fascinated how it was possible for a fake pill to be able to influence the physical body. And the more I delved into the research and even found research that showed that somebody with multiple personality disorder could have different illnesses when they were in different personalities and yet have the same body. It blew my mind. You know, a person could have high blood pressure in one personality, but not in another, or asthma or allergies or pain. Or, I mean, there was even a case of a woman who was blind in some personalities and not in others. And so it just drove me to want to figure out how it could work. And it made me start exploring, you know, even our emotions, but even how that our emotions can actually shift our energy of the body. And it was shocking to find out that energy is not just some woo-woo concept, but there's actual medical research behind energy of the body. And so I would say the short answer as to how was understanding that my mind could shift my emotions, could shift my mindset, could actually heal my body is the short answer.
Okay. So let's break this down a little bit, because a lot of my listeners are familiar with books like The Body Keeps the Score. And, you know, a lot of followers of somebody like Joe Dispenza, who really teaches how to, you know, actually bypass your mind in a lot of ways, but get to a frequency and a coherence where things heal and shift. So I think I know a lot of my listeners really get this conceptually. Could you explain how our mind and energy actually scientifically works? Like how this actually works? Could you break it down?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I started, because I had been doing the frequency thing, and for me, that didn't work for me. And so I wanted to figure out how does this work? And so one of the things that was insightful is I started really looking at the energy of the body. And a simple way to think about the energy of the body is if we think about a light bulb, like a light bulb emits photons, particles of light, and the sun emits particles of light called photons. And our bodies emit particles of light. They're invisible, but they're called biophotons. Now, when they were originally discovered, is about 100 years ago by a medical scientist called Alexander Gerswich. That was his name, Alexander Gerswich. And he technically, when he first discovered it, he called them mitogenetic radiation. And he was nominated for the Nobel Prize 11 times. And he even won similar to the Nobel Prize in Russia. And so our bodies actually emit this light energy. And fast forward, if we even look current day, there is a database under the NASA agreement that is maintained by the Smithsonian and Harvard that actually has current studies of this light energy from the body. And there's so many amazing things about this light energy for the body. One being that research has shown that there's a direct correlation between our thoughts and emotions and our mindset and light energy. So that's one thing. Another thing is it different illnesses actually emit different light energy. Some emit, like, for example, type 2 diabetes. People who have type 2 diabetes emit different patterns of energy that's specifically different than somebody who doesn't have that. Or cancerous cells emit different emissions than regular cells. Mm-hmm. And so it's just fascinating to find the correlation of just the energy. And not only that, but that this energy has been shown to impact and influence cellular proliferation, so healing of the body. And so just profound that our thoughts and emotions shift this light energy, and this light energy is connected to illness and healing and all of that. So that was just really eye-opening for me.
I love that. And, you know, when we think about let's say an illness and like what its, for lack of a better word, energetic frequency is in our body. Do different illnesses or pain or whatever, like, are they often attached to an energy that might have come from an emotion or a belief or something that happened at the time to be created? I don't know if that sentence question makes sense. Does it make sense?
It makes sense. I got you. I would say, so I would say absolutely. And I think one of the things that was really eye-opening to me was this, was that I had been meditating for years, you know, meditating. So basically I started out and I thought that the placebo initially, it worked due to belief. And so I was trying to like convince myself I was already healed and force myself to believe. And I worked on this well over a year and visualizing myself and affirmations and gratitude for healing and all of the things, and it wasn't working. And so then I started, as I was researching, I found something called the open label placebo, which is basically exactly like it sounds. It's open label. So both the doctor and the patient both know it's fake and it still works. And so it became clear that, okay, well, it's not just about belief that something will work. And so after that, I went into, you know, I was meditating and doing now the affirmations and the visualization and theta state and delta state. And I was like, you know, just staying in like this deep state of hypnosis, trying to match the frequency of healing and the theta state. And it wasn't working. And sure, I could get my pain down at times or I could feel better at times, but it wasn't working. It wasn't healing my body. I was stuck. Like it wasn't making progress. And I had been doing this for like 5 years. And so I had this experience somewhere along the way where basically a friend of mine, her aunt was dying from lung cancer. And she asked me if I wanted to say goodbye before she left. And I said, you know, and so I said, before she crossed over, and I said, of course. And so I went to go say goodbye. And as I saw her, it just kind of hit me, you know, I said bye, but you know, she had been in hospice for several months and in and out of consciousness, but also trying all the positive thinking and the affirmations and the belief and all of these things. And I thought, gosh, well, if this state was so, this relaxation state was so healing, then why hasn't she healed? Why haven't other people healed? You know, I think that was jarring to me about, it's not just matching the you know, a delta state or a theta state. I have to do something radically different. And so that's when I really started, to your point, looking at specific emotions and saying, okay, well, how can I see that the mind affects the physical body? And I looked at emotions. Okay, you know, if somebody's embarrassed, their face turns red, or a panic attack, racing heart, shortness of breath, or sexual thoughts, sexual physical response. And so you know, you can see it's clear that different emotions affect the body differently, right? So I, and of course, in the state that I was in, I thought, you know, of course, I'm going to need a lot more than emotions to heal my body. But, you know, I could see that that somebody could die of a broken heart or scared, you know, and so we could see that emotions affected to the point of death. Now, what was key for me was this, is that when I started looking at it objectively, I could see that, okay, well, I could see that people were stressed, like PTSD or severe trauma, who weren't sick. And there were people who were happy who still had illness. And I said, okay, well, how does that work? If stress affects the body, how does that work? And basically what I began to figure out was a certain combination of emotions. And a way to think about it is like, if somebody wants to make cake and they have flour, they can't make cake. But if you have multiple ingredients, you could make cake. And of course, illness is not cake. But the point being is that different ingredients equate to different things. So basically, a long story short, to answer your question is, yeah, it's every illness. There's different combinations of emotions. And that has been the key to creating the radical breakthrough, to showing it under medical equipment and all of these things. That has been the key to getting radical change.
Okay. So let's break this down a little more, because if you look at someone like Louise Hay, who I think she's passed, hasn't she? I think so.
She passed, but she's just a beautiful being. Yeah.
She's a beautiful, beautiful being. And I love that you can like look up, you know, ear infection, and you can find the emotional correlation to that. So, you know, this connection, I think people have been talking about it for a while, right? And then it was probably muted for thousands of years. And now we're really coming back to talk about it more. And what I love about your work is that you really look, one, you empower the individual to find out like what emotion or what thought is really creating the pain or, you know, needs to shift to get out of the illness. Because from your experience, could you link every single person's back pain to the same emotion or thought?
I would say yes and no. I would say the same kind of group of thinking, kind of like this. I did a medical study. I had some studies published in a medical journal last year. And in that, a lot of it, the studies that were done on neck pain. And basically what I did is I showed it under medical equipment. And if we were to simplify, I would say part of it had to do with like a resistance towards others or feeling like others were a pain in the neck. Or mm-hmm. like if you picture the neck wanting to like look away and not see somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. what was interesting about it is that some people had a feeling as though they had like resistance, like their wife was a pain in the neck or their husband was a pain in the neck or an ex was a pain in the neck. And others had like a feeling of rebelliousness against authority, like authority mm-hmm. in the neck. Mm-hmm. And so, but then they're also like it's always a combination. So there can be a feeling of, you know, not feeling safe connected with a feeling of loneliness or like, so there's a certain combination. Or another example is somebody might be ill for so long that it becomes part of their identity. And then so that keeps them sick because it's part of their identity. So there's always a mixture of a combination that is key for self-healing, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, there's sort of like a group of thoughts for, you know, back pain, or if someone has PCOS or, you know, stomach stuff. But for each individual, there's our unique thought or belief that's tied to our life. That's what I'm hearing you say. Yeah.
Of certain ingredients. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for somebody listening, because I know that I have a lot of listeners who have some kind of pain or health issue, and they have spent a ton of money, and they have seen a lot of practitioners, and they've, you know, maybe tried mindset work and meditation and done the things that you did and gotten to altered states and, you know, have tried so many things, and maybe they've shifted a little bit, but not to the degree that they're free from it. And they're just like so frustrated. And so like, well, I guess I just have to live with this. What would you say to that person?
I would say that I resonate. And then I've been there, done that, spent so much money and tried everything from diet and supplements and so many things. I would say a few things. I would say also what was fun in the medical study that I was talking about that was published in the medical journal last year. What was fun is even one of the participants, he was shocked that it worked. Like he was able to take his pain from a 6 to a 0 in about 28 minutes. And after he got done, he got up and he said, you know, I'm surprised that that worked, because he just came from a 10-day meditation retreat and a positive thinking seminar workshop prior to that.
Oh, wow.
Right. So it was like, thank you, universe, divine timing on this. And the reason being is because what I did with him is I targeted those specific emotions. And so what I would say is that's what's key, is that we have to get really, really, really specific. Mm-hmm. And that's been the key to my success, is getting just really specific. I would say also, when you say, what would I recommend for the average person? I would say also, there's a few key insights that are really, really important. I mean, there's a lot of them, but one, I would say specific, being very, very specific. I would say another is understanding, you know, sometimes people will want to try to shift into positive thinking, but I would say it has to be amplified so much that we shift consciousness. And what I mean by that is this, is that our emotions and our subconscious mind control our consciousness. And a simple example is, you know, if somebody is really, really in love, what do they see? They see all of the good in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if somebody's really, really upset or had an argument, what do? They fault find, the brain is automatically thinking of all the negative in that person and whatnot. And this happens at a much deeper level, but we don't realize it. And so I would say that, you know, if we look at this example, if we say somebody's just kind of in love, then it doesn't necessarily shift the perception. But if they amplify it, it really starts to shift the way the mind is automatically thinking. And so I would say that when we create the shifts, we have to make them really strong and we have to get them in the subconscious mind. And I would say that is key. And then also really understanding patterning at a deeper level. I would say that's another key thing as well. And I would also say creating new positive neural pathways that are really strong. That's another key as well.
Okay. Could you walk us through like maybe another example from a client of like a pain or an illness they'd been dealing with forever? And like what specifically was the belief? And then what did they have to amp up to really shift things?
Absolutely. So I would say this. Number one, I always tell people to go towards the positive first. And there's a few reasons to do that. Number one, if a lot of times people always want to say, oh, well, if there's a negative emotion, they want to know what it is. But if there's a negative emotion that's affecting the physical body and you delve into them, then you could potentially increase the problem. And that may not seem like a big deal, except for the fact that even if we look at research from Harvard, current research even suggests that autoimmune conditions are caused from stress. And so we really look at it. Emotions can severely impact the body. So in other words, in short, we don't want to delve into the negative right away. So a lot of times what I would do with somebody is part of what I would do is make sure to create a positive vision in their mindset. Now, a lot of times if I'm working with somebody, I do it very quickly. I say, you know, could you imagine what it would look like moving forward if XYZ? So I try to move their mind forward, and that is going to be a key aspect to move it forward. And there are many reasons why that's important. I could go through list and list and list, but simply if we look at medical research, optimism can speed up healing. It can speed up cellular proliferation. And so it's kind of like there are certain ingredients to speed up healing, and optimism has been shown back to back to back to back can do that even after a surgery. If somebody's optimistic, they heal faster. If somebody's fear or negativity, they heal much slower, have much higher rate of complications. So that's one piece of the puzzle. So we go, okay, moving it forward to optimism. And so getting that in, ingraining that is key. And then I would help somebody to identify the negative and help them to then shift out of it. It's kind of the simple way to do that. So let's say that somebody has a feeling of anger towards their husband. Now, a lot of times I'll tell somebody, you know, I'm going to push a little bit. And I say, okay, well, you could keep that. Go ahead. You could keep that anger if you wanted, or you could genuinely transform it and you could let it go and you could instead create your vision. So a lot of times it's about creating a genuine shift, if that makes sense. So, but I mean, I always tell people, I make it look ridiculously simple. So even in when I do it under medical equipment, or I do demonstrations, I always tell people it's kind of like watching Michael Jordan slam dunk a basketball. It makes it look like we should all be able to do that. Just, it's so easy. And so I always want to be honest in saying that to create that shift, a simple way to think about it is we can get results with creating a shift. And the way to illustrate that is to think about somebody with multiple personality disorder. They can shift into one personality and boom, the pain is gone. Right. But I always tell people that, okay, even though you shift out of the pain, now you really also need to address the pattern, because there's a chance that the pattern started at a very young age. And if so, the pattern can come back. And so, yeah, that's key as well.
Then the pain comes back. Yeah,
exactly. And so that's a key to, so even after we shift out of pain, which I always tell people, that's what you want to do, because it's so much easier to do self-work. after you shift out of the pain. So
yeah,
if you shift out of the pain, then you go, okay, well, let me continue to follow through to change the pattern. It's a lot easier and funner to do that.
Yeah. It's sort of like if you pull a bunch of weeds, but then you don't do anything to maintain them, they come back. They just come right back.
Exactly. And I would say, you know what? I mean, I've been out of pain for 13, 14 years now, and I haven't had to reinforce it. It's just who I am. And it's been, you know, but at first when I shifted out of pain, then yeah, I would go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm pain free. Yeah. And then come back. And I said, wait a second. No.
Yeah.
And so I did. I mean, I had to reinforce it and reinforce it. And now yeah. I have had to do that in years.
Do you mind sharing what the belief was that you had to shift, or what some of the beliefs were that you had to shift, and the positive state that you had to really reinforce, or like the pattern you had to get out of and the positive state you had to reinforce?
Absolutely. You know, I have to say, it is literally, I had no idea I had fear or any of that. But basically, a long story short, mine had to do with 9/11. And I wasn't even in New York at the time. So technically, I mentioned that I used to do network engineering operations. I worked for telecommunications company. And my shift was from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. So in Pacific time. So I was in the office talking to a colleague in the Trade Center when all of that happened. And so the colleague was in, you know, yelling or screaming, you know, help me, help me. And then the phone went dead. And that impacted me. And then on top of that, you know, when I worked basically in the building that I worked in, we always had to know current events. And so there were televisions on every single pillar in the building, like throughout, maybe not every single one, but it sure felt like it. I mean, there was surrounded by news stations running constantly. And so after that happened, I'm sitting there watching, you know, if we're in red zone or orange with the terrorist threat and all these things. Meanwhile, I was working, trying to help because it was also catastrophic for our network in the area. So I'm trying to help our customers because the network went down. And so, it, you know, all of this stuff is all playing in my peripheral vision. And so basically, a long story short, I ended up with this fear that I was going to die and also a desire to want to die to help and save people, because it was like the Jesus type of savior die for people. I'd grown up in the Lutheran culture and all of that. And so there was that feeling of wanting to die for others. And then I also had a feeling of survivor's guilt, like, you know, so I had, there was my combination was that.
Wow. And what did you have to step into? What feeling did you have to step into?
Well, definitely had to decide it was a bad plan to die. That was part of the problem is, and this is part of what's fascinating with healing is, of course, I didn't consciously realize I even had this. And I mean, I guess part of my brain knew it, but I didn't really know it and at all consciously. And so I had to rewire that. And all of the time with illness, I'll see people have a miswired mindset. So this is normal where, let's say that somebody has a subconscious pride in hardship that could create a problem. Or let's say somebody has linked up sympathy to love. And maybe that happened when they were 6 years old. So they don't even realize it consciously, but there's a feeling of love and sympathy, which then means that there has to be negative situations or circumstances to get love and all kinds of things. And a simple way to think about it is, you know, even if we think about a cutter, somebody who unfortunately cuts themselves, they can experience a feeling of relief or euphoria from cutting themselves, which doesn't make logical sense, but our minds get miswired. And so that's what mine was, you know, miswired. And so one of them was reprogramming my mind in that direction. Other things that I did was this is, you know, I mentioned the importance of optimism. And at that point, I definitely did not feel optimistic about my life or life in general. I was in a really bad place where I didn't even want to live a lot of times. And so I had been trying the positive thinking and all of these things for years. And as much as I was trying, it wasn't working. So what I started doing is I figured I needed to hack the process. Basically, for us to get in any new neural pathway, what do we need to do? We need to repeat the information, of course, as you know, like the alphabet, to get it in to memorize it. We need to do it over and over and over again, and then we memorize it. And so for me to create positive neural pathways, positive emotions, I had to get them over and over and over and over again, which would have been literally impossible for me to act and do every day. Mm. And so one of the things I started doing was listening to U2, Beautiful Day, that song. And you love U2, don't you?
I do.
You do, right? I love that. So, but I would listen to that song and I would just amplify my emotions as much as I possibly can. And sometimes people hear this and they think, oh, a positive playlist. I've done that. And I'm like, no, but that's not it. It's not about a positive playlist, because I needed to create a new neural pathway. So a positive playlist would be like saying, hey, I want to listen to, I'm going to listen to the alphabet of 30 different alphabets. And it's like, it's hard to really amplify and memorize that. But I started using just two songs technically and started amplifying it. And at first I had a hard time accessing the emotions at a really high level. But as I focused on it and really, really took it in, I became better and better and better at it. And it really started to just get in my subconscious mind. It was powerful. So that's,
I love it. I love music. I mean, music's always been a tool. And when I met you, it was like one of the tools that you had me use as well. And it just is so powerful to get into something that moves us into a different state until we can get there on our own. So for somebody that has a hard time getting to, you know, a state of excitement about something, especially when they've been really struggling, using music to generate that feeling until you can really hold it on your own is such a great tool. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your personal experience, because I think that's so relatable to be like, oh, wow. And who would have thought that that experience could create what it did? But it shows us how powerful our mind is and how powerful the energy that the emotions create because of the beliefs. Like, wow, it's really mind-blowing. I want to ask you, maybe this is a good time to talk about or do the DS mind test. What is that?
I'm gonna warn you, it is really ridiculous. To me, this is the thing, is that the more I became clear on what I needed to do, the easier it was to do. Because when I first started, it was like, okay, well, I'm waiting for the universe to heal me, or God, divine energy, and or my body to just hit a frequency. And so the DS mind test is, it's a silly, insightful awareness. And so you want to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it. It's not the first silly thing you've had me do, that's for sure.
Okay. But I'm warning you. Okay. So at first you're going to think, oh my gosh, this is absolutely ridiculous. And then afterwards you go, okay, I get it. Like, it's super insightful. So we just need to make it there. Okay. So here we go. Okay. So if I ask you just for a moment to breathe, and I'm going to ask you to breathe, and I'm going to ask you to picture that somebody you love is making you your most favorite meal ever. Your most favorite meal ever. And I want you to picture and just notice what that would feel like. What it would feel like. Somebody's just making you your most favorite meal. Maybe sweet, maybe loving. Just that caring feeling, just really, really sweet. And I'm going to ask you to breathe and just taking that in. And I want to invite you to just to open your eyes and to just put that into the universe. That will be a great vision to manifest and create, or maybe you're making that, but just sweetness, just love, love, love. Okay, now I want to let that go and create a completely different vision, completely, completely, completely different. And so instead, I'm going to ask you to picture that you have a spoon and you take a big, big scoop of worms and you take it towards your mouth like you're going to eat it. And delete, delete, delete. Okay. Now, I want you to notice what emotion comes up. And typically, it might be a feeling of disgust or this, that, the other. Now, first thing I want to say is this. is that notice how if we continued in this, a person could feel like they wanted to gag just from an emotion that's not even true, an imagined emotion of nothing that actually even occurred. Number one. Number two is that this is programmed because our ancestors ate worms. So it's not like there's always been a disgust. This is our cultural way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing. Now, another thing is this, is I could meditate for 10, 20, 30, 50 years, and this programming would still be here. And so that's the point, is that when we have an illness or problem or emotional pattern or something that can trigger us, it can be our way of thinking, and it doesn't have to be something that's actually happening. I mean, I wasn't actually in 9/11, so it doesn't have to be something that's actually happening. It can be a feeling that we're feeling at a subconscious level that's triggering us. So even the emotion of disgust can make us want to vomit or feel sick or blah, blah, blah. And so I said immediately, you know, delete, get rid of that, bring in something positive. But that's also the reason that we have to go beyond meditation. And don't get me wrong, meditation can be great and wonderful and fantastic. And there are different meditations that can feel incredible. And also, when I finally like understood, okay, I have to find the emotions, I have to target them, I have to really shift them, it was like, hey, I don't have to waste 10 more years or 30 more years of my life. And that's what I show people to do is, okay, look, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's identify what's going on at a subconscious level. Let's transform it so we can get back to life, you know, and that's been pivotal.
That's huge. And it's so instant. As soon as you said worms, I was like, oh.
Okay. So I warned you, it's ridiculous. But when you go and you really think about it, the truth is that our ancestors ate worms. So that is actually programmed in. It's not like an innate thing that is built into us. It's actually programming. And that's what happens is we have little triggers here and there where we might have somebody who hurts our feelings or an abandonment or a hurt or this, that. And kind of the way to think about it is like this is, you know, if somebody's experiencing, you know, a panic or an anxiety attack and they have a racing heart, shortness of breath, and they don't realize it's from the feeling of panic. And I say that, and that's actually common. Like sometimes people will, the first time they've ever experienced a panic or anxiety attack, they think they're having a heart attack because they don't know it even has to do with their emotions. Right. And what I would say is similarly, we have all these emotions that are connected to the autoimmune condition or the foot pain or the back pain or the neck pain or the, you know, I mean, but we know this. I mean, we know stress is connected to autoimmune conditions. We know stress has been connected to cancer. We know all of these things, but now it's time to look at them and say, hey, well, how do we undo this? How do we change this? And that's what's really powerful.
I love that. So in your new book, Master Your Mind and Energy, Heal Your Body, do you teach people how to do this for themselves?
Absolutely. So part one of the book is understanding like the scientific research. And that's what everybody's been loving. The book just came out and everybody's been loving that because they're going, oh my gosh, like everything finally makes sense, logical sense. You can see how the pieces fit together. And then in part two is the step-by-step process of understanding emotions at a deeper level and what we need to do and transform. So that's part two. And it's called the gift method because ultimately when we create a real change in our subconscious mind, it becomes such a life-changing gift. And
it really does. It really does. And can people do this without someone like you helping them?
This is what's fun is I see people when they learn how to do it. So I've had people even for years going through like my courses and whatnot and learning how to do it. And kind of the way I see it is like this is that, you know, if we think about the 4-minute mile, it used to be thought throughout history that it was impossible for a human being to run the mile in under 4 minutes. And then, you know, I think it was in the 1950s, Roger Bannister did it. And as he did it, more and more people did it after that because they realized we could do it. Now, if you ask me if I can run a mile in 4 minutes, I cannot because it also takes practice and learning and a skill. But, you know, it takes understanding, a belief and a skill. And I would say the same is true with mind-body healing. As I see people that they've maybe had the belief, but they don't have the skill. or maybe they don't even know that it's possible. But when we have belief and then we have the skill and we understand how to do it, it's pivotal. And so I see people who go, you know, they're messaging and saying, oh my gosh, I just released my own pain. I just got rid of my headaches. I changed my autoimmune condition. Yeah, it's incredible.
So if I'm like looking at that and I don't really know, you know, what the belief or pattern may be that's created my autoimmune condition, for example, how do I even figure that out?
Well, what I would say is, oh my gosh, is it chapter, oh my gosh, now is it chapter 8, 9, 10, maybe it's chapter 11 or chapter 12. You would go into the book and you would find it in that chapter. Yes. So basically part of it is this. Okay. So again, there's always multiple emotions because there's a reason why one person can feel anger and they're not sick at all. And then there another person can feel anger and it can be connected to a health issue. Or, you know, so there's always, I've never found anybody who didn't have multiple connections. And so I would say that is one key.
Got it.
So, but I would also say some of it is even through like idioms. Like for example, when somebody has neck pain, we've heard before the phrase pain in the neck. And ultimately it's when we find, you know, maybe somebody's a pain in the neck. Now I talked about earlier that sometimes it might be a rebelliousness. Sometimes it's a resistance towards somebody. So there's other peripheral emotions that can come with that. But even, you know, for example, somebody with low back, a lot of times that can be due to feelings of, you know, we've heard the phrase back support, but somebody feeling supported or not supported or angry at people who do support them or guilt over money or stress over money. And so that show up, you know, and so we see that, you know, so it's about, it is about building a relationship with your body and understanding because, and that's part of what I cover in the book is that you can start asking and answering questions from your body and how to actually start doing that, because ultimately what we all want to do is get back to our innate ability to understand that our bodies are giving us a message. And that's really what I see it as being is that our bodies are giving us a wake up call. Like every illness is, the kind of the way I explained it is, you know, if we're in a car and the check engine light comes on, it's just that, you know, something is off. And when we have a health issue, it's the same thing. It's telling us something is off and we need to change it. So yes. So to answer your question, yes, we can check in. Yes, that's in the body it's in the body. It's also in the book, of how to start asking your body and getting that information from your body. Absolutely.
I love it. I love that you have taken your knowledge, your gifts, your experience, and put it all in this book. And knowing you and knowing your level of excellence, I know that people will greatly benefit from getting this book, reading it, and not just reading it, but actually doing the work, right? Like you kind of put the effort and the work in. And so for someone, and I know we talked about this a little bit and you said, I so relate, but for someone that really is like, oh, I can't do one more thing. Like, it's just not going to work. It's not worth it. I just don't even have the energy to read this book and learn how to do it. What words of encouragement could you offer that person?
I would say a few things. First and foremost, I would say it's so much harder to be sick every day than it is to follow through. So that I've done both. I've been sick, I've followed through, and I've been healthy. And I can say that life gets so much better and easier with follow through. So I would say that's one thing. I would say also part of what kept me going for so many years is multiple personality disorder, is seeing the research. And even though I couldn't do it yet, seeing the awareness of the placebo, the nocebo, multiple personality disorder, even the fact that somebody with, you know, just seeing the awareness that we can do it. And it took me like 5 years beyond that to figure out how to do it. And that's of course in the book. But that's what I would say. I would say I've been on that journey. I've tried and tried and tried. And I see that all the time. And, we're amazing beings. It's key. Yeah. And like you said, you know, as you said, it does take genuine change. It really, really does. Got to do the work.
Yeah, there isn't like a quick, well, your work is pretty quick, but then you've got to maintain it. But there isn't like a, you know, quick fix, just do this one thing and then everything will change.
You know,
because so many of these things have been ingrained in us for so long. So, you know, putting in the work and the intention. And what I really love about your work too, and back to the original opening when I said you make it fun, is this isn't like hours and hours and hours and hours a day. It's really like the work is shifting yourself. So much of the work is actually shifting yourself into more positive feelings. Like that's the work. You know, so that's actually pretty awesome work to be doing on a daily basis. But what were you going to say?
I think we were on the exact same. It's like when exactly as you do that and you bring it in and get rid of the negative, like I've never had anybody say, gosh, I feel so happy and I've healed myself and this was a waste of time, or I'm bummed I followed through. Not once. Every time, everybody's always said, God, this was life changing. It's so worth it, which is the reason I call it the gift method, because it does. It's like, you know, when we change those patterns that we didn't necessarily realize that we had, it's a life-changing gift. And that's one of the things I love about healing is you can't trick your body, God, universe, divine energy, mother nature, whatever you want to call it. You have to make that real change to get the real results. But when you do, it creates a real pivot in your life. You know, I wasn't even trying to change my life. I was really just trying to heal my body, and it changed my life. And not only that, but it gave me this gift to like channel information. Now, I mean, just, right. You know, it just opened up like intuition and it changed my life in so many ways that are beyond what I ever would have expected.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're empowering people to change their life, which is so beautiful. So beautiful and so inspiring. So where can people go to get the new book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body? And where can they go to connect more with you?
Absolutely. So the book is in bookstores, on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. So it's anywhere books are sold, pretty much. And as far as connecting with me, my website is brandygilmore.com. And Gilmore is with two L's. And one of the fun things is that on my website, there's a tab called See Live Healing, and there you can see somebody doing it under medical equipment. So you can see under video what that looks like, and it's empowering. So I think the more, it's fun. The more everybody, right? It's fun.
Yeah, that's so cool. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you for your work, and thank you for sharing with us today.
Christine, you're just so lovely always. Thank you for you. Thank you for your heart and just you're a beautiful, beautiful being. So I love playing in your space with you.